This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is a Cut to It bonus episode.
Cut to it, let's get down to it, cut to it, know
it's all. Hey, Smitty.
Yes.
Bonus episode time.
I love it. A bonus episode that fell into our lap.
I mean, complete spontaneous pod.
Spontaneous of all spontaneousness.
And we got Kaylee Hartung. She's an ABC News correspondent.
GMA.
Working for Good Morning America.
Flex.
Also been at CNN, ESPN, 2 years. Longhorn Network. She is a veteran journalist.
But where is she from, the most important part?
She's from Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Say that again.
I tried to do the whole French thing.
You did.
The Creole.
Yeah.
So she's from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Went to LSU, and we're just happy to have her on the Cut to It podcast.
She did a good job, and we're excited to get someone so close up to know what's going on. And give us really a breakdown of college baseball, the World Series, and what's
live
going
in the college
on.
World Series.
Yep. So, a first time exclusive college World Series podcast, a little short, in and out of what's going on down there here locally here in Charlotte. You know, so we got the NC State Wolfpack that were on the path to secure a World Series in college baseball.
But COVID thought otherwise.
COVID said, ha-ha, we have alternate plans. So, hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening.
Kaylee Hartung on the Cut to It podcast.
Guys, this is such a treat for me. Thanks for letting me join.
So, what's been new? I mean, we're just coming off, you know, College World Series. It's been the Vanderbilt, NC State. It's, man, what's been going on is clearly probably unprecedented. What's been your take on the last few days and the rollout of all this information?
Yeah, it's been totally wild, guys. You know, I worked the College World Series in some capacity for 7 years.
Slight flex.
Big time.
Woo!
I've only worked 7 years.
But I'm actually here for Good Morning America. We're doing a series.
Another flex.
Visiting, you know, just telling you guys why I'm here.
What's the hotel? Did they put you at the Ritz too?
Right.
There is no Ritz in Omaha, unfortunately. My name's not Michael Strahan, so I don't come with, you know, that kind of red carpet. But here we are.
I'm personally just glad that Cut to It made the media car wash right now. Like, we're talking to royalty. Good Morning America, College World Series.
I've been doing it for 7 years.
You know.
Oh, casual. But no, but I haven't been here since 2017, so it's been amazing to be back and just a really wild time to be here. So I'm here to shoot this piece for GMA. It's really about the significance of the College World Series to the city of Omaha, to the state of Nebraska. Mm. Without it happening a year ago, it was just devastating to so many local businesses. So that's sort of the angle I was coming here with, and not so much the ins and outs of how I would prepare for a trip to Omaha when I was covering the actual tournament. So I'm just checking in as I was about to get on my plane on Saturday to come here to see if there were any of the if necessary games to determine who was going to get to the finals, because it's a double elimination format until you get to the best of three finals. And I'm like, what's going on? I don't understand. What's going on? What do you mean no contest? What do you mean? What do you mean NC State's going home? I'm super confused. Took a minute to dive into it. But I mean, what's happened here is unprecedented, something that could only happen in the time of COVID. But as it turned out, the way they're testing players here, okay, only unvaccinated players needed to be tested on, I believe it was an every other day basis. Mm. If you've been vaccinated, you did not need to be tested. These schools haven't required their players to be vaccinated, and the NCAA cannot require players to be vaccinated. So all that being said, NC State had a couple unvaccinated players test positive. That triggered the next layer of the protocol, which meant
contact
the entire
tracing.
Team needed to be tested. Yeah, contact tracing, you know, step one, and then step two, it was like, let's test everybody. And then they actually had some vaccinated players test positive. So after NC State, like, gutted it out with, I think they only had 13 players available after quarantines and all of that, they gutted out this, like, really gritty game with Vanderbilt. They lost 3-1. It was their first loss in Omaha. They were as hot as any team here. And then the NCAA decided we can't let this continue.
They went the easy route, to say the least, not having to deal with at some point we want to talk about, you know, we want to talk about, well, vaccinated, unvaccinated. But at the end of the day, vaccinated, unvaccinated, infections are going to happen. And
yep.
The protocols seemingly are basically saying if you are infected, we have to eliminate everybody and let's be like water. Let's take the easiest path of resistance and go, we're just going to eliminate everybody instead of going through it. And now let's go backwards though, because I, you know, being in the NFL, I think Nebraska, Omaha has that same kind of status that Canton, Ohio has.
I'd agree, man. It's rare that something stays in one place.
But it's
a destination.
Yeah.
I mean, kids don't just say, I want to play in the College World Series. Kids say, I want to go to Omaha.
Yes.
You know, you go in weight rooms across the country. You go into baseball facilities at colleges across the country. Omaha is on the wall. I mean, it is synonymous with what it means to be the best in the sport. And I actually interviewed earlier today a guy, Jack Diesing, who is the head of the local organizing committee for the College World Series and got schooled in a little bit of the history. But this event has been happening in Omaha since 1950.
Wow.
How cool is that?
I know,
that's how the basketball tournament, this event is to this city.
The basketball tournament, it goes to various cities. The BCS, it rotates around different cities. Yeah, this is a destination every single time. Every single time, Kaylee, it's there. It's in Omaha. So that is really cool. And it's something that when we do think about some of these prestigious tournaments, we don't always talk about College World Series.
No, we don't. And Kaylee, let me ask
you. And you should, guys.
That's why we're having you on here.
And that's why you got two brothers talking College World Series right now. We are breaking barriers.
I love it.
So let me ask you, in 2017, how was Nebraska, Omaha compared to 2021? Just the city, you know, it's been there, like you said, 1950. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, 1950. However, the audience has not always been tuned in. And the amount of people traveling have not been what it is in the last, 10 years? So I'm imagining.
Let me quantify.
Oh, quantify it, please.
300,000 visitors come to Omaha over the two-week span of this tournament.
Wow.
300,000 people. They fill the stadium nearly every game.
How many people sit in the stadium?
20 to 25,000, somewhere in that ballpark. And this event generates nearly $90 million
to the city of Omaha.
To the city of Omaha. That's how I pitch this story to Good Morning America, to say, if we are talking about ways that this country is reopening and ways that people are getting back to living life, and if we want to tell the stories of the ways small businesses persevered, and if we want to tell the stories of just, you know, the fortitude of the American people to survive this pandemic and to come back stronger than ever, there's no better time to showcase what's going on in Omaha, Nebraska, than when the College World Series is here. Because you see the infusion of energy and life and money into this town when college baseball is on.
So what you have, there were probably 2017, there were probably what? 10 hotels, maybe. There's a Residence Inn.
This place is blown up. I mean, coming back here, there were so many places. Like every corner I turn, I'm like, well, this is new. Mm-hmm. I was told last night there is a $250 million downtown project underway.
Ooh.
For Omaha. Yeah.
Buffett's
here. Listen, there's some real money here, guys.
If they're looking for some angel investors or some people that are looking for 10 to 12% return, you know, tell them I'm available.
You out here?
I'm out here. Hey, always willing to do it. Any investment with a 10 to 12% coupon clip, preferred. I like preferred.
Heck yeah. But it really is. This city's growing quickly. Mm. It's a beautiful town. And the best thing I can say about this place, though, is that the people are as friendly and welcoming. Like, the people here love the College World Series. They love to be hospitable. They love to welcome everyone. They want everyone who comes here, all 300,000 of them, they want everybody to hear, to have a good experience. And it's the kindness and the friendliness of the people at Omaha that help make this event what it is and that help make it such an awesome experience for all of the fans from all over the country who come to this tournament. And one of my favorite things about what you see here is there are fans, like there are LSU fans. I'm from Baton Rouge. There are LSU fans who come here every year, whether or not LSU's in the tournament, because this event is an annual tradition and it's so special to them. There's a group of Mississippi State fans who come here every year. This year, they are lucky enough for their team to be in the finals for a chance to win the first national championship in any sport at Mississippi State. So let me tell you, the cowbells are ringing in Omaha, wherever you go, because those Mississippi State fans love to have a good time and love to let you know that they're here.
Got the SEC showdown for the College World Series.
I know that. So let me ask you, let's dive into your background. How did you get involved into college baseball, and as you flexed on us several times,
now Good Morning America,
GMA,
right,
as they call it.
Well, I feel distinguished now. Like we talk to a Good Morning America, like woo, we have made it.
No, don't be impressed.
No, I am.
Can you just take a compliment? Can you take the compliment, please?
I'll take it.
Mama, we made it.
I'm just a girl from Baton Rouge, Louisiana, who grew up a very loyal fan of LSU. I was lucky growing up in that my mom worked for the Athletic Foundation at LSU, and I got to be a fan of a school that had the best team in the most fun sports to watch. So like in the 90s, like I love college baseball because in the 90s, there was no better team than LSU. They won 5 national titles in a decade. Like that's wild, right? So that was my come up in baseball, was just cheering for the Tigers as they were rolling over everyone in some of the most epic moments in college baseball history. Shout out Warren Morris, 1993. In the record books for one of the best moments in this sport. But then there was Shaq, right? Like Shaq was the first athlete I ever knew existed. Like late 80s, early 90s, he was just dunking on everybody in the Pete Maravich Assembly Center. I was there in my little LSU cheerleading outfit, just like thinking he was actually superhuman. And then of course there was LSU football, right? So like, all of that to say, I came at wanting to do this job as a fan first and just always felt like, and still being here right now, feel like it's such a privilege to get to be there on the best days of these kids' lives, right? Like that, you know, you've worked for so hard, sweated, tears, all the things to get to this incredible moment. And for me to get to be the person who gets to ask that question or tell that story and highlight all the work that went into achieving something so special to them. Like, to me, that's a tremendous privilege that I take very seriously. But that's where my love of sports comes from and why this event is so special to me and why I loved my job at ESPN. But the dream for me was always more so the morning show format, right? Like as a kid, I looked up to Katie Couric so much in the Today Show. And now I'm at Good Morning America. Admitted flex, we're number one. So the dream has been amended to be right where I am as a part of the team at Good Morning America. And I think I'm really lucky. And what's interesting for me now is that I find myself in this balance, right, of trying to show up on the best days like I got to at ESPN. But also when you're working in news, you have to show up on the worst days of people's lives.
So what's
that's a different challenge.
Yeah, she flexed on us. I think Rick Ross said the best, at the top is just us. Yeah. She definitely.
So what's been some of the worst days that you've had to show up on that you know you're going out on a remote or you're doing a report about something, but then when you get there, it hits you in a way that you're, no matter what the storyline says, no matter what, how you've been briefed, no matter what you know and which questions you're going to ask, it still hits you in a way that you're unprepared for.
Oh gosh, so many. Just a couple weeks ago, I was at a mass shooting in San Jose, where a guy who worked at a light rail yard maintenance facility for 2 decades walked in and shot 9 of his coworkers. And then the next day I'm at the home of a man who was praised as a hero for the lives that he saved before his was taken. And I was overcome with grief and emotion because the young man who was my age, the young man's mother was inside the home. I was in the front yard and I could hear her wailing in grief and pain. And I mean, there's no way to prepare yourself. There's no way to prepare yourself for that. I mean, the number of mass shootings that I've been to, sadly, it would be hard for me to count right now. But Parkland, my gosh, being in Parkland, at that high school, I mean, I got there a day after that happened and was there for 2 weeks. And that was when I was at CNN and I was on such a grinding schedule that it wasn't until I got the call that I was clear that I could go home after being there for 2 weeks. That the second I hung up the phone, I just burst into tears. Mm. It was like all the emotion that I'd kept inside because adrenaline was pumping through me and I was just trying to do my job and stay awake and make sure the words that were coming out of my mouth were making sense. Mm. The second the adrenaline was gone, I just lost it. But it's daily. Right now I've got colleagues in Miami who are in an unimaginably difficult situation. The weight, the unknown down there. There's still some hope, but you know, last I saw 150 people were still unaccounted for in Surfside with that collapsed building. And it's, you know, every week, every day it's something. And sometimes it's my assignment, sometimes it's one of my colleagues, but it's, it's heavy. It's heavy. So I feel very fortunate that I'm now with a network and have a platform to be able to cover such a broad range of stories where I do get some relief, you know, where I do get to, again, show up on the best days, because that's healthy for my own self, right?
I mean, and you're walking right into the question that we were going to lead into. How do you take care of yourself when you do have topics that are this heavy and mass shootings and buildings collapsing? How do you take care of your mm-hmm. own mental health?
You talk about it, you know, you talk about it with your friends. I've got a great support system of wonderful, wonderful family and friends like Meredith Carter, your producer, is a very important person in my life who, you know, I need friends like that in my life who I can count on and who I can call and who aren't afraid to go there with me and ask me questions about how I'm feeling. Because I'll be the first to admit, one of the reasons why I think I am capable of doing this job is that I am capable of compartmentalizing. I'm capable of focusing on the task at hand. But like I described in Parkland, you know, I'm not afraid once I've gotten through the task at hand to feel what I'm feeling. Because at the end of the day, I'm a human, right? At the end of the day, I'm a human with real emotions and real feelings way before I'm a journalist. But I think that my humanity, my empathy, my ability to be very real with people in the dark moments and in the best moments is what's allowed me to have any success at the job I'm doing, or allowed me to put anything on television that's worth listening to or watching.
From CNN to now you're at Good Morning America, you've been a lot of places when it comes to the journalistic world. What's been your journey through your journalism path? Tell us about some of the stops you've had and just how you've been able to now have a namesake within this industry.
So my first job out of college was maybe my favorite job of all of them, for, you know, basically minimum wage, working at CBS News in Washington, D.C. I had the incredible fortune of being Bob Schieffer's personal assistant. Mm-hmm. And he's an icon of the industry. He's interviewed every president since Nixon. It was like getting my master's in journalism from a true master. And I was by his side for 5 years through the 2008 presidential campaign, through most of 2012. I never thought I'd be somebody's personal assistant for 5 years, but the adventures I got to go on with him and the way I was able to learn from him on a daily basis made it just a wonderfully fulfilling job and was the best way to come to understand the industry in such a full circle way. But while I was there with him, he was the best about saying, take advantage of being in this building. Like, you know, your first responsibilities to me, but be useful to everybody. Volunteer for everything, work the holidays, work the weekends, whatever it is. And so I started doing that and I ended up doing some pieces in the, you know, one man band style, as we call it, for CBSnews.com. I was shocked they would put me in front of a camera on CBSnews.com back in 2009, but I was free and creating content. So here you go. But that led to catching the eye of the guys at CBS College Sports Network, I did two football seasons there. And it was the same time that CBS and Turner Sports were creating their partnership for March Madness, which allowed me to get involved with them on the digital side with NCAA.com. So I spent 2 years of my five at CBS News moonlighting for CBS Sports and Turner Sports. And it was so much fun. And it was amazing getting my feet wet in that way. But it was totally unstable. Thankfully, an audition came up for a job at Longhorn Network, which ESPN had just launched, covering the University of Texas. I was more surprised than anybody that I got the job. And that led to five awesome years at ESPN, from hosting on Longhorn Network and hosting on SEC Network to doing things for ESPN, like working the College World Series and working the college football playoff. And I wasn't ready to leave sports when the opportunity presented itself to make a jump to CNN. But, you know, one of those moments where when the phone rings, you answer it and you take the meeting. And sometimes you can be more surprised than anybody, as I've been consistently throughout my career. So there was an opportunity to jump to CNN, and I knew that news was always the goal. So Bob Schieffer actually gave me the advice of, why wait? If you know that's the eventual goal, why not take this opportunity and see what happens? And so I did. And the 2 years at CNN were just like diving in the deep end of what it means to work in the news industry. But I went from, you know, the one end of the spectrum, like I was describing at ESPN, of just having so much fun and showing up on the best days, to at CNN only showing up on the worst days.
Wow.
So then that's why I say ABC is such a great fit for me, where I get to do both. Because I think we all need to hear some good stories.
Yes.
When we're just inundated with the bad ones. So that's there's the resume.
Well, it's pretty impressive. You're doing a heck of a job.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just appreciate you taking the time out all the way from Omaha, Nebraska. College World Series, where our NC State fellas have been eliminated, not because of lack of ability to close out a game, but the virus has taken them out.
Y'all, I think if they could, if the virus wouldn't have done what it did,
yep.
I think NC State would have won this. Mm. I really do.
Think about how
nobody could beat them twice. I just my heart breaks for those guys. And there's a great video you should look up on NC State's baseball Twitter account when they got back to Raleigh the other night after flying home from Omaha. And also, they bust the kids who tested positive. They couldn't even get on the plane. That felt real bad for those kids. Anyway, once they all got back to Raleigh, they filled the ballpark in Raleigh with fans to welcome them back. And it was so emotional. And it was so sweet. But that team was special. And I just hate this for them.
Meredith is actually right now in the corner crying. So I'm just because you talked about how emotional it was, she is now. And she's got NC State logo tissues as well. It's sad. I feel for you.
The Wolfpack will be back. You can count on that.
Listen, they have to be winning something.
It's gonna be a great game.
They have to be back because basketball is terrible. Whoa, and football stinks. Dude, so God, you got to be winning.
Basketball. They got a basketball team
at the YMCA.
Yeah, yep. I know. I thought it was Tar Heels and everything else. I didn't even know.
Well, we really appreciate you taking time out. And, you know, one of the things we got to have you come back on and really dive deep and into your career and hear some of those awesome stories.
And some little nuggets. She sprinkled some nuggets in there. Why wait? We need that on a T-shirt. Why wait?
Yeah.
Why wait? I like that.
So we really appreciate you taking the time out. But I got one last question I think is really important. So you're talking about summertime. You're talking about a place that seems to have some great fares. So what is your go-to meal out there that you look forward to? When you know you're going to the College World Series, you're saying, I got to stop at one or two places that you're just like, I can't, no one can know and see me eat it, but I'm going to get down and dirty.
You got to get a milkshake from Zesto's. That is like
what flavor? What flavor?
List. Chocolate. I go for a chocolate milkshake.
Hey, you never go wrong with a little bit of chocolate in your life.
And then if you're in Omaha, you got to have steak. right? And I'm not going to be somebody on the average that's going to order a steak at a restaurant. But when I'm in Omaha, I go to Omaha Prime. You see Mo, the manager. He's the man. I get a little filet, all the sides.
Butterfly cut?
I'll do like, I try to do like a petite filet, like maybe keep it simple, but like maybe a little surf and turf. If that's an option,
that's the company. You know. That's the company.
That's a credit card. Yeah, right?
No.
I'm not. They don't pay me.
That's not even a company credit card. That is reimbursement. Yeah.
Like this out on the per diem.
Hey, I got $100. I'm about to eat 75 of it for
dinner.
That,
give me that lobster tail too. Give me that lobster tail.
And dessert. Right. Let me get that flourless lava cake.
Absolutely dessert involved. Yeah.
Glass of Merlot. I'll take that too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm going cab, but you know, whatever.
Okay. Oh, excuse moi.
Yeah, yeah. All right. So another question. All right. Red or white? Why?
Well, if I'm doing steak, I'm going cab. Red.
Yeah. Look at her. She's so bougie.
Hot.
She's so posh.
Yeah, you drink
so
a red wine right now,
here.
And it's hot.
You're gonna pass out. Last night I drank white wine. Last night I did a little Pinot Grigio. But also I went to, so this is what I love about Omaha. They embrace this event so wholly. I went to this spot, Jams, in
with a
the
Z
old
or
market
S?
Area of Omaha. Jams with a J.
No, does it end with a Z or an S? Because if it ends with a Z, they probably don't have shoes on.
No, with an S.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we good.
Right. Jams and S. But it's great little restaurant. And their drink menu, their specialty drink menu.
Hey, this is a recorded line.
Yep. Eight drinks named for each of the teams that were here. You know what I mean? That's so there was like the Longhorn Rita.
Oh, okay.
And like, the, you know, there was a drink name after each team. I was
what
like,
was
this is brilliant
marketing. What was the NC State
you,
drink?
You know every, you know what? Hold on. I took a photo. Wait a second.
NC State, and then you have to tell us what they have for LSU.
Okay. Well, LSU didn't make it.
You said a drink. Oh, it's every year.
Yeah, just every year, right? So it was the Wolfpack Whistle. Sweet tea vodka, peach schnapps, lemon juice.
I knew it was schnapps. I knew it was going to be something trash. I knew it. I knew it was schnapps. I knew it. I told Brian, I was like, schnapps. There it was. Yeah. Something trash. It wasn't going to be like bourbon or nothing.
Because that ain't what they go drink anyway.
Mississippi State Squeeze Play, Jameson Ginger Puree, Sweet and Sour Orange Bitters, the Vandy Black Horse Tea with Chai Infused Sweet Tea Vodka, House Lemonade, and Fresh Lemon.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, y'all, the list goes on. You get it.
Give me a Scully Vodka. I'm straight.
Yeah. Keep it simple.
Hey, that's how I like it. Hey, well, Kayla, we really appreciate it and appreciate your time. And
absolutely.
Good luck. And
I appreciate you guys. This is so fun. Such an unexpected turn to my day.
I appreciate it.
Spontaneous podcasting.
Anytime.
All right. Thank you. Thanks. Have a good day.
Thanks, Kayla.
I appreciate you guys. Bye. Right.
Thank you for listening. Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr. and my co-host,
Gerard Littlejohn. That'd be me.
And wherever you listen to your podcast, you can get us on iHeartRadio. Also on Apple Podcasts.
Wherever you listen to podcasts.
Wherever you need. We are there. Just download us.
And follow us at Cut To It on Instagram and at Cut To It on Twitter. And visit our website, cuttoitpodcast.com.
New episode every Tuesday. That's right, every Tuesday. You know why it's Tuesday? Because guys are off in the National Football League, so that's why they can squeeze us into their schedule. Not everybody's retired playing golf sitting around. Cut To It with Steve Smith Sr. That is me. Is a production of Cut To It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
You know it's on.
It's on.